The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but what if you're 90 years old and your husband has just died? Isn't it time to throw in the towel? Join me for today's edition of Fruitful Single. So my guest today is Aida Pop, and today's interview is going to be a little different because I'm actually here with a group of friends, even one over Skype, and we're going to interview Aida together. So Aida, what's special about today?
Because it's my 90th birthday.
And were you married?
Yes, I was married for 70 years.
And how long ago did your husband go to be with the Lord?
It was February of 2017.
So what were some of the highlights of your married life?
Oh, my. For 70 years, there are so many highlights. First of all, I was married when he was a student at the seminary. So I was able to associate with other couples and people there at the seminary. And have a certain amount of spiritual growth. Then we were able to, with God's blessing, to serve in Japan as missionaries. And then back here in America, we stayed because we had some illnesses. And my husband worked on a college campus, and then he was a BA chaplain.
Hi, Aida. After you and your husband first married, did you ever feel regretful of the fact that you were married and tied down at a very early age like that?
I'm sure there were days that I felt that way. But right away, within almost exactly a year, we had a brand new little baby girl. And so we kept busy with her. And then in a couple of years, there was another little boy. And so I didn't have time to regret too much. We were talking about the hymn the other day, "To God Be the Glory," that he provided a wonderful man, and he wasn't perfect, neither was I, but we're just so blessed that we had each other, and that he was a fine Christian man. And of course he matured in his faith and in his Christianity, and I hope that I did too. He was 7 years older than I was, but even so, as he matured, he became more and more zealous. Particularly when we first went to Japan, we'd just been married, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years at that time. And to see the people there who were without hope and to be able to bring the gospel, that was an exciting and challenging time.
When you were in Japan, how did you deal with that? I mean, did you have to learn Japanese?
Yes, if you're going to buy groceries and cook and all that sort of thing, you have to be able to tell them what you want. So yes, we did learn some Japanese, and hopefully enough to get by. The only thing, one of our babies, the fourth one, died while we were in Japan because I had some kind of special illness. And so right after that, for about 6 months, I was just kind of blah. Just stood looking out the window and taking care of the kids as I could, but just, I suppose nowadays you'd call it depression, even though I didn't ever get to really care for that little baby. Still, the loss was something. But then other things came along, and time went by, and God blessed me with being able to recover from that.
So when you later on, you were able to have a couple more children. Mm-hmm. So were you fearful at all after when we had your next one?
Yes, and there was always that danger. So the next three children after that had a certain amount of difficulty when they were born, and which increased until the last one, and even the next to the last one, had to have blood exchanges, go to the hospital and have complete blood exchanges. And then I was given transfusions from my husband They just put him up on one level and me on the next, and it just dripped down. And
you
that
had the same blood type, huh?
Well, it wasn't exactly the same, so then we had the problems. It was good enough, but not perfect.
So, Aida, how many children do you have?
I have 6 living children and then the one that died, so 7 altogether. First, we were there for 5 years as missionaries, and then 30 years later, we went back as volunteers for another 5 years, and that was a real blessing.
Would you welcome the opportunity to encourage younger retired people to get active and go overseas like you and your husband did after he retired?
Absolutely, yes. It's a wonderful experience for the person who goes. I trust it's a blessing to the people that they are able to share with. And I can't think of anything that people could do in their retirement years that would be more challenging and a blessing than being able to go to some country and share God's love with the people there. One of our daughters and her husband are planning to do that this year. And he just retired last spring, I think. So it's wonderful.
What was the hardest part for you of adjusting from being married for so many years to all of a sudden being unmarried again?
Loneliness and missing him and feeling that, thankfully, I feel that he was still with me in many ways. And we had a habit of writing Bible verses and writing messages to each other. And I still have those which I continue to read. Mm. And that keeps me from being lonely.
Mm. What was your experience with grief groups?
Yes, the funeral home was very nice in having a 6 weeks grief group. And it's met twice, and now we're going to start a third session, and it's a blessing to be with other people who are experiencing much of the same things. It's enlightening to see and hear how all of us manage to mess up our lives and our relationships, but it's been a blessing to be able to share with other people who are going through the same thing.
And what are you doing with your life now?
Well, the Lord has blessed me with some opportunities to share at the 2 churches that I attend, and also with Verde Valley Caregivers, that I'm able to provide some transportation and visiting and with people who need help, and people who are housebound and can do shopping. So I'm really blessed with all those opportunities.
You said you share at your churches. Can you be more specific what you do with your churches?
Because in this area, there are so many older people. I provide transportation, particularly for one lady who's blind, and visit people who are shut in, people who are in hospice, and do shopping for those who can't get out and do it for themselves. And then we have Bible classes that we attend both of the churches and also here. So these are a real blessing.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, a lot of people, if they make it to age 90, they're going to feel like, I've kind of already paid my dues. I've already helped a lot of people. I'm just going to sit back and watch Judge Judy now. Why don't you do that?
That gets boring in a hurry. So after watching I don't watch TV that much, but if I do watch something, it doesn't take long before that's no fun. And being with people, hearing their problems and being able to empathize and sympathize with them is much more rewarding.
Some people might look at that, some people might even be kind of scared of it, like, going to help people that are needy, what if something happens, like they fall and I don't know what to do, or they might be like, that's just going to be kind of depressing, you're helping these people who are all sick. Why would you want to do something like that? Why do you enjoy that?
These are wonderful people. It's a blessing to get to know them. And each and every one of them has some special quality. They're just really precious people, and it's a blessing that I have the opportunity to meet these people or to share with them that I wouldn't ordinarily have the time when right before my husband passed away for those 6 months or a year. I was very much involved in helping him. And now I'm freer, even though it's lonely, to share with other people and learn something of their lives and hopefully be a help to them.
Do you find that these kind of people, you know, they're hurting in one way or another, obviously, to need help? Do you find that they're more receptive to talking about God, to hearing about God, than just your average person out in the world?
I would say so. Everybody is different. Some people have suffered many, many sad things in their lives, many losses. Some have lost children and spouses. But I would say that all of those things make them more receptive, unless they become so angry with God that that they can't open up to see his wonderful blessings and love.
Why do you live alone?
I have 6 children. All of them have their own lives. They're busy. They are at the ages, many of them, that are retiring, and they want to go and serve the Lord in different ways. Well, I feel that if I would pull up stakes and move in with one of them or near them, that I would be a burden. There may be a time when my health precludes my living alone, but right now I can see well enough to drive, and so I'm just going to stay right here.
One thing that happens as we get older is our friends start dying off, the ones that are our age, and we start outliving them, or else we die off, right? Your family, as you already said, lives some distance away. So how do you avoid becoming just kind of socially withdrawn? Because you wind up having to make new friends. How do you do that?
Well, I'm really blessed to as I said, to be associated with 2 different churches. And there are many different programs that they have, Bible studies and other activities. And there's always something going on, so that if you can sit still and not do anything, or you can get out and go, and I've chosen that route, and then I'm not doing anything at home to get rid of all the papers we collected through the years, but I'll leave that to the kids.
Are there aspects of ministry that you find are easier for you as a widow than they were when you were married?
Well, one thing is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is being aware, because of my situation, of the things that they are going through, and so that I can relate to that and share with them. I'm not a theologian, but I can tell them about the things that are a blessing to me, being in the Word every day and the wonderful power of God's Word that really answers every situation if we give it the time and the energy to put into it.
Psalm 92:14 in the New English Translation says, "They bear fruit even when they are old. They are filled with vitality and have many leaves." And then the marginal note says, "They are juicy and fresh." I like that. And doesn't that describe Aida? She didn't think to tell you that she also hosts a prayer meeting and a Bible study in her home every week. What a great example for us, whether you're 90 or 19. If you'd like to send a message to Aida, just write me, daniel@fruitfulsingle.com, and I'll be happy to pass it on to her. If you'd like to read a story of another woman who served Christ as a widow well into her 90s, I can recommend the book Granny Brand by Dorothy Clark Wilson. It's the true biography of a woman named Evelyn Harris Brand, who served the Lord in India, first with her husband and then after he died, for many decades longer, well into her 90s, as a missionary in frontier regions of India. And as always, if you have any questions or comments for me or know somebody else I should interview, I would love to hear from you. Again, my email address is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. Until next time, may Jesus bless you with fruitfulness, and remember, Don't waste your singleness, because the Lamb's wedding is coming soon.